I want to finish talking about bodybuilding this morning. And if you remember last time, we looked at the first two questions. And then today I want to look at the last two. And the last two being, when does bodybuilding become sinful? And then secondly, what things should a Christian consider before getting involved in bodybuilding or continuing in it? Now, you may be thinking, okay, why in the world am I even talking about this? I'm not into bodybuilding. Nobody in this church is into bodybuilding. I don't care about bodybuilding. It doesn't even matter. This is a total waste of my time. You're warning me about something that I have absolutely no interest in. Well, first of all, everybody knows why I'm doing this sermon. I don't think I need to tell you that. But secondly, everything that I'm going to say today applies to any hobby or any activity that any of you are involved in or are thinking about being involved in. So before you get up on your high horse or decide to fall asleep, either one, just know that this sermon is for you, even if you've never picked up a barbell in your entire life and never intend to. So when does bodybuilding become sinful? It becomes sinful, just in a general sense, in the easiest way to think about it is, it becomes sinful when it causes a man to break God's commandments. Okay, so, and this goes with anything. Anything that you do, if it causes you to break God's commandments in any way, then it's sinful, even if the thing in and of itself is not sinful. We're told in 1 John 3 and verse 4 that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's the definition of sin. So if you break God's law, you have sinned. If bodybuilding or anything else you do causes you to break one of God's commandments, then it has become sinful. But let's get into some specifics. I have eight things here that we want to look at that will determine when and if bodybuilding becomes sinful. And like I said, this will apply to anything that you might decide to do. Okay, so the first thing, the first way in which bodybuilding can become sinful is if it becomes an idol in the heart. So turn with me to Ezekiel 14, 4 through 8, which is why I read this passage at the outset of the service today. Ezekiel 14, 4 through 8. This verse gets to the heart of idolatry. There's a lot of condemnation of idolatry in the Bible when it comes to idols, things, that images that people made of wood and stone and gold and silver and things like that. Of course, you know, people don't, non-Catholic people anyway, don't do that today. But this gets right to the heart of it. Idolatry is a very real and present danger in today's world, and plenty of people are idol worshipers and don't even realize it. Ezekiel 14, and let's just start off with verse 1. You've just heard this, but you're going to hear it again. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Notice where the idols are set up, not in their house, right? Not in their house of worship, in their heart. They've got idols set up in their heart. And then they want to come to the prophet and get a word from him. And God says, I'm not giving you a word. You're not getting anything from me. You've got idols set up in your heart. Until you get rid of those idols in your heart, you're not getting anything from me. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. He'll answer him according to his idols. He's going to tell him what his flesh and his lusts want to hear. He's going to give him over to his own fleshly desires, to his idolatry, to what he wants to do, because it's so important to him and it's more important than God's commandments. He's going to give him over to it, just like it says in Proverbs chapter 1. He'll answer him according to the multitude of his idols. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart. You see, that's what happens. First, you separate yourself from God, and then you set up another God. Everybody's got to have a God. And if you're not going to worship the true God, you're going to worship some desire, some fleshly lust that you've set up in your heart that's more important to you than God. You will have a God. You will worship a God. You will honor something. You will sacrifice for something. If it's not for the true God, it'll be for your own lusts, for the things that you want to do. So I say this is just as applicable today as it ever was. A lot of people do this. I'm going to read verse 7 again. I think that's where I left off. For every one of the house of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and will cut him off from the midst of my people. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And you come to the prophet, and God says, I'm going to answer. I will make this man a sign and a proverb. I will cut him off from his people. The Lord knows the hearts. The Lord will judge based on what's going on inside the heart, and he will cut off people from among his people that have set up idols in their hearts. So if bodybuilding or anything else becomes an idol in the heart, it's a sin, and it will end up in your destruction, as this passage just showed. You see, one's own body and lusts can become his God. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 19. Philippians 3 and verse 19. Just think about your own life. Think about the things that you set on a pedestal above God and his commandments. And just every time you hear me say bodybuilding, replace it with that and be admonished. Philippians 3 and verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. I'll get to the second half of that verse in a minute. Whose end is destruction, and their God is their belly. Their own desires, in other words, their belly. What they want. There's a lot of women in this country that their God is literally their belly, their womb. That's their God. And not just their womb, their whole belly area where they carry babies, that is their God. And if anything happens that's going to injure that area and make that area not look as nice and pretty as it used to, and make them not look as nice and thin and good as they used to, they will sacrifice that thing for their God to make their belly look good. They do it every single day. Now, this love of self can cause a man to glory in the shame of his nakedness. Now, just keep your finger there in Philippians 3, but turn over to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. This is talking about the perilous times of the last days, which we just looked at here in the church discipline series not long ago. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. But the very first thing that's listed there is men will be lovers of their own selves. When one loves his own self, he loves his own body. His own body ends up becoming his God, and the man will be caused to glory in the shame of that nakedness. He will end up wanting to show off that body so much that he will expose himself immodestly and glory in that shame, because it's a shame to show one's nakedness publicly. Let's look at that second half of Philippians 3 and verse 9. Just read the whole verse again. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I'm applying this verse to what I'm talking about today. This may be a bit of a stretch, but it fits to me. You got people whose God is their belly, their own body, their own flesh. is their God, and they glory in their shame. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, it says that they were both naked and they weren't ashamed. And then once they sinned, then they were ashamed. They realized they were naked. Men will end up glorying in their shame. They'll glory in their nakedness. Women do the same thing. Models, porn stars. Doesn't have to be that. Pretty much 90% of all women today in the summertime, especially on the beach, glory in their shame. They don't have shame. They got a whore's forehead. They're so obstinate and hardened that they don't even realize that they're walking around half naked and they look shameful. They don't even know it. They can't be ashamed anymore. They've been so deceived by a wicked culture. So if a man's willing to break God's commandments regarding modest apparel to compete in bodybuilding competitions, then bodybuilding has become an idol in his heart. See, anything that you're willing to break God's commandments for becomes the idol. To whomever you obey, your servants to whom you obey. And there's a passage there in Romans chapter 6 about that which just came to mind. So if you yield yourself a servant to sin, you're going to obey and serve sin. If you yield yourself to a servant to your lust, to obey that, whatever that thing is you want to do, now that becomes your God. Whoever you obey becomes your God. And if you're breaking God's commandments, you're not obeying Him. So whatever you're doing to break God's commandments that's more important than His commandments, that becomes the idol in your heart. And in this case, it could be a modest apparel. I've already given it to you in last sermon. The Bible teaches that nakedness is to be covered. The garment that's given is at a minimum shorts that go down to the knee. And if you're willing to willfully, presumptuously break that commandment and appear in public as such, you've just showed who your God is. And it ain't the God of the Bible, because you're willing to break His commandments to do what you want to do, to serve your lust. Also, if a man chooses bodybuilding over the house of God, then bodybuilding has become an idol in his heart. If your bodybuilding is more important to you than being in the church, than having your membership in the church, and being in God's kingdom on this earth, that's become an idol in your heart, if you pick that over God's church. But it's not just bodybuilding, like I said. The same is true of a whole host of things. It could be a person's career. If your career is more important to you than God's commandments, than doing what God says, your career has become an idol in your heart. Maybe it's a career that's forbidden to you because it's just evil. Or maybe it's just that a career is forbidden to you, period, because of your station in life. If you choose that career over God's commandments, you're serving the idol which is in your heart. Instead of serving God, you're breaking God's commandments to serve your idol. It could be your spouse. Lots of people have forsaken the faith for their spouse. Their spouse leaves the church, they leave the church. Or their spouse doesn't want them to join the church, they won't join the church. Right? Their spouse wants them to celebrate Baalmas, they'll celebrate Baalmas, Christmas, right? They serve their spouse. Their spouse is their God. They would rather please their spouse than please their God. They would break God's commandments to serve the spouse. The spouse becomes their God. That's the idol in the heart. Could be your children. Lots of people will willfully break God's commandments for their children. A lot of people worship their children. They love them so much, so-called, they'll break God's commandments when God tells them to beat them with a rod. Say, I love them too much. No, the fact is, you hate them too much. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, the Bible says. How many people, once again, celebrate Baalmas for the children? Right? Who's your God? If you're willing to break God's commandments and you know it, you know what the Bible says, who's your God? If you're willing to break that commandment to serve your children. Could be leisure and vacationing. People are willing to break God's commandments and to put leisure and vacation over God. I'm, of course, not saying that nobody can ever go on a vacation. I'm not saying that. You know that. I take vacations myself. But this happens. I know. I've experienced this happening with a couple in a church that I pastored. Leisure and vacation took precedence over the house of God. And it didn't end well for that couple. When you serve that idol in your heart, that idol is vicious. Could be hobbies, which could be anything, whatever your hobby is. Nothing wrong with hobbies in moderation, but if your hobby becomes more important to you than keeping God's commandments, more important than being in His church, your hobby now is your idol in your heart. Could be sports. This is a big idol in a lot of people's hearts in this country. I think if Pastor Mott says that the Super Bowl is the high mass of the country's religion. Sports is this country's religion. You got people that are obsessed with it. They know everything about whatever their particular sport is. They could tell you all the players on all the teams. They think that they're on the team. Listen to them talk. They think that they're actually playing. They're so delusional. They say, we won, we lost, we did, we. You're not on the team, but they talk like it. They know everything about it. They know all the stats. They could talk about it for hours. Ask them where a Bible verse is. They probably have no idea. But boy, they could tell you every single statistic for the last 50 years about their beloved sport. And they'll skip church for it too. Skip church to watch the game. Skip church for the kids' game. It's an idol in the heart when it causes you to break God's commandments. Could be other people in your life, could be other things, activities, whatever. Anything that you would choose over God's commandment. You got a commandment of God staring you in the face, telling you what you should or should not do, and you say, no, this thing in my life is more important than keeping that commandment. That's just a little commandment. It's not a big deal. God's not going to care. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you break one of these least commandments, you'll be called least in the kingdom of God. I don't care how big or how small it is. A lot of idolatry going on today. Idolatry in the heart. When does bodybuilding become sinful? Here's the second case. If it's loved more than God, which kind of ties into the previous one. Look at Matthew 22:37-38. And if I missed your idol, I'm sorry. I tried to get a broad array of one. If I missed your idol, then chastise yourself. You didn't get it from me today. Maybe I'll think about it later. Matthew 22:37-38. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The first one, the first commandment. Now this is first in importance, first in priority. It's not the first commandment ever given. God told Adam to dress and keep the garden, right? Not the first commandment in chronology. It's not the first of the Ten Commandments. Exactly. I mean, it kind of is. I mean, he said, thou shalt have no other, I'm the Lord your God, you shall have no gods before me. So this is a version of that, I guess you could say. But this actual commandment was given much later in time. It was, you know, given in the law of Moses after the Ten Commandments, I do believe. I'd have to check on that, actually, with the, I could be wrong about that, so I'm not sure. I'd have to look back and see when exactly this was given. In time. But anyway, the point is, it's first in priority. That's what I'm trying to say. 1 Timothy 3 and verse, 2 Timothy, pardon me, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This is in that list again. You know, men will be lovers of their own selves. And when you love your own self, you'll love your own pleasure more than you love God. If bodybuilding comes to that, and that's, it's a pleasurable thing for people. People get into that. They get hooked on it. It's an addiction like anything else. I've never been involved in it, but I've been told by people who have that it is an addiction. And you get your brain, there are chemicals, I forget which ones they are. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. There are chemicals that get released in your brain when you work out, and you can get addicted to those things, that feeling, that high that you get after working out, just like you can get addicted to cigarettes or alcohol or cocaine or heroin or whatever. It's an addiction. I've never experienced that. I just loathe exercise, and every time I get done with exercise, I'm certainly not feeling high whatsoever. I'm just glad it's over with. But I have been told that it can give you a feeling of a high, and it can be addicting. Now, if a man chooses to continue bodybuilding when it causes him to break God's commandments, he loves it more than he loves God. John 14 and verse 21. Now, of course, people can say a lot of things. Nobody will tell you, I love my hobby more than I love God. I love my career more than I love God. I love my kids more than I love God. I love my husband, my wife more than I love God. I love sports more than I love God. Whatever. Nobody's going to say that. Everybody's going to say, oh, I love God more than anything. God's my number one priority. Don't listen to what they say. What they say is meaningless. What do they do? What they do will tell you where their love really is. John 14 and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's how you know if you love God, if you keep his commandments. Loving God is not a feeling or an emotion. There is that aspect of it. But primarily, loving God is keeping his commandments. It's doing what he says. It is not a feeling. You can feel like you love God all day long, and if you're not keeping his commandments, you don't love him regardless of how you feel or say you feel about him. So if a man willfully appears in public dressed immodestly in order to continue being a bodybuilder, he loves it more than he loves God, and it therefore is sin. Third way that bodybuilding can become sinful is it's more important than the house of God. Let me just give you a couple of verses here to show you where our affections should lie when it comes to the house of God. It should be more important to us than anything else. Psalm 27 and verse 4. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And it's not your hobby, it's not your family, it's not your career, it's not any of those things. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That was David's desire. That one thing. That was more important than anything else in his life. And he was a king with untold wealth, with all kinds of wives. He could have had anything that he wanted. But the one thing that was most important to him is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Turn to Psalm 84 and verse 10 with me. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Thousand of anything, it's open-ended. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be here than any other place. I never, ever want to be where I'm not a resident member of God's church. I want to be a resident member of God's church, whether I'm the preacher of it or a pew warmer of it, I don't care. I want to be a resident member of God's church for the rest of my days. That's the most important thing in my life, and God help me to do so. I've given these verses to people, trying to persuade them of the importance of the house of God, people that knew, you know, came around for a while and knew what it was. And some people, just their priorities are different. They're like, well, that's just not, it's not that big of a priority to me. Well, it's a big priority to God. So if a man would rather choose bodybuilding than being a member of God's church, then it becomes a sin. If he refuses to give up some aspect of bodybuilding, such as immodest attire, like having to appear on stage in a Speedo or something like that, if you refuse to give up that aspect of it in order to be a member of God's church, then it becomes a sin. If it's like, well, I'd like to be a member of the church, but I really want to stand up on stage almost naked, and I want to stand up on stage naked more than I want to be a member of God's church. That's a sin. church is where God's people are supposed to be, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is, as we read in Hebrews 10. Fourth way in which Bible building is a good thing. If that doesn't even really make sense. But anyway. Fourth way in which body building can become sin is if it is not done in moderation. Turn with me to Philippians 4:5. Now, like I said, once again, this applies to all kinds of things. Virtually everything in the Christian life. I could take this outline, and who knows, maybe someday you'll hear it again, and all I'll have to do is just do a find and replace in Word, and I will just replace bodybuilding with your hobby and activity or whatever. I could just do a search and replace, and I could preach this sermon again. It had nothing to do with bodybuilding. It could just be about just your activities in life in general. Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, is that by walking up and telling everybody how moderate you are? No, that's not. It's by showing them. Show them that you're moderate in all things. That means that you don't go to the extreme in anything. Right? You steer between the extremes. That's moderation. And bodybuilders know something about moderation, because when they strive for the mastery, they have to be temperate in all things. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. They know about this. They have to be temperate in how they eat. They can't eat a lot of stuff that they'd like to, and they have to eat specific diets and all kinds of stuff. They have to be temperate in the amount of sleep that they get and all kinds of things, right? They have to be cautious about those. 1 Corinthians 9:25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." But you know what bodybuilders also have to be temperate in? Bodybuilding. You need to be temperate in bodybuilding as well. You need to be temperate in all of your hobbies and habits and activities, whatever that thing is. If you have something that is controlling your life, that you're addicted to, that you can't give it up, you're not temperate in that thing. That thing has power over you. And we're not supposed to let anything have power over us. Pretty sure I can find the verse. Where is the verse? Paul says, "Well, I will not be brought under the power of any." Is it first? I thought it was 1 Corinthians 10. Is it 1 Corinthians 8? Oh. Anyway, he says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And I see the verse here in 1 Corinthians 10:23, but there's, let me see. Just quickly, hold on. 1 Corinthians 6:12. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." So there shouldn't be anything, any substance, whatever, whether it's drinking, smoking, drugs. We shouldn't be brought coffee, right? You shouldn't be brought under the power of anything, right? Any of those things are fine in moderation. But when they come to the point where they have power over you and they control you and you can't control them, but they control you, then that becomes a problem. We're not supposed to be brought into the power of things. The fifth way in which bodybuilding can become sin is if it causes pride. And this is a real danger when it comes to this kind of thing. Mark 7 and verse 22. Let me just show you that pride is indeed a sin. It comes from the heart, as do all sins. For that matter, they all originate there. Nobody ever murdered somebody without thinking about it first. Nobody ever stole something without thinking about it first. Nobody ever committed adultery without thinking about it first. They all originate in the heart. Mark 7 and verse 22, it says, "Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. See, pride is a sin. So if bodybuilding causes pride in you, and I will define that here in just a moment, then it becomes a sin. This is one of those worldly things that is not to be found in us, the pride of life. 1 John 2 and verse 16. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." That's worldliness, when you got pride in your life. Pride is the quality of being proud. It's a high or overweening opinion of one's own qualities, attainments, or estate, which gives rise to a feeling and attitude of superiority over and contempt for others. Inordinate self-esteem, thinking highly of oneself. This is one of those words which people have turned on its head, and they now call good evil and evil good. Because pride in the Bible is always a bad thing. But a lot of people today, and I'm sure you've heard them, they use pride in a good sense. I was just listening to a lady that we are a member of the same organization with here a couple of weeks ago, and she went on a trip overseas, and she was talking about a certain person that she met, and she said that this person was just something about being full of pride for her country or full of pride for something. And at first, when I first heard it for a split second, I'm like using words based on what they actually mean. And I'm thinking, oh, like, that's not a good thing. And then I realized, oh, no, she was praising this woman for being full of pride, which is just bizarre. But, you know, people do that all the time. They say, oh, she's just swelled up with pride because of her, whatever she did, like it's a good thing or something. It's bizarre. God hates pride. Proverbs 6, 16 through 17. Take pride in your work, they tell you. Haven't you heard that? Take pride in your work, right? People say that all the time, right? Nothing like exhorting somebody to have a high and overweening opinion of your own self and your qualities and attainments and estate. Have an inordinate self-esteem, sir, in your work. Think about it. I mean, start using words biblically, people. Quit using words that the Bible uses to describe vile wickedness as something good. You're calling evil good and good evil. Proverbs 6, 16 through 17. When words lose meaning, lose their meanings, people lose their liberties, as Confucius said. It's important to use words correctly, or you'll end up in 1984. If you've ever read that book, they change the meaning of words to put people into bondage. Proverbs 6, 16 through 17. It says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Abomination is a feeling of a combined feeling of disgust and hatred. First thing, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Isn't it interesting that God puts a proud look before hands that shed innocent blood? God hates six things, the Bible says here, seven of them, as a matter of fact. He hates these things. And the very first thing he lists is pride. God, apparently, if this is an order of priority, hates proud looks more than he does people that murder each other. Now, maybe the list isn't of priority, but I just find it interesting that the very first thing listed is a proud look. Remember that when you've got a high opinion of yourself or your attainments. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Once again, first thing, pride and arrogancy. The evil way, what's the evil way? Murder, rape, right? I mean, the evil way could be anything. I mean, you could throw all kinds of stuff in there, but pride is listed first. What was the sin that brought the devil down? Pride. Lest he fall into the condemnation of the devil, it says, that a man that's considered for the ministry can't be a novice, lest being filled with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You could say it was the first sin, because it was. Satan fell before Adam and Eve fell, right? He tempted Adam and Eve. He tempted Eve and then, you know, or deceived Eve and tempted Adam to sin. Pride was the first sin. The devil said, Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. He thought very highly of himself. He wanted to be God. If one's strength or muscular physique gives him a high opinion of himself, bodybuilding has become a sin. And if you want to know if it's made you proud and made you fool of yourself, how often do you look in the mirror? How often do you flex in the mirror? How often do you post pictures of yourself on the internet, right? Just think about it. But it's not just bodybuilding. Any of you. How often do you look in the mirror and look at yourself and think how pretty you're? I know some people are like, I'm too old for that. There are some sins that become easier as you get older, right? Being proud of your looks is one of them, right? Bev told me that before she died, that not about the looks, but she told me that, you know, it becomes easier in some ways when you get older because you just don't have the energy to sin anymore. She's like, I just don't have it in me. I just can't just rail on somebody and tear into him and yell and scream. I'm just too tired anymore, right? The sixth thing that causes bodybuilding to become a sin is if it causes things which God has commanded to be left undone. All right, so we've talked about like positive things, if you will, that can be done that can cause it to be a sin. But here are things of omission, right? You can leave things undone, and then that can also cause it to be a sin. Because there are, you know that, there are sins, right? There are different types of sins. There are sins of commission, where you do something that breaks God's law. There are sins of omission, where you leave off doing something that God has told you to do. That's also a sin. And then there are sins of ignorance, which could be sins of, it would be sins of commission, or it could be either one. It could be commission or omission, but they're done where you don't know that there is sin. You don't know that there's a Bible commandment. And then there's a fourth type, and that is called a sin of presumption, a presumptuous sin. And the psalmist David, I believe it was, talks about that, where he says he prays that the Lord would keep him back from presumptuous sins. Those are the very, very dangerous sins. Because when you know there's a commandment of God, and you willfully and intentionally break it, that's called a sin of presumption. And I'm going to turn over here just because this is on my mind. This is a sin that will be punished severely. It says in Hebrews 10 and verse 26, mind you, right after the exhortation to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, right? The next verse says four, which connects it to the previous verse. Four. If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sorer punishment suppose ye that he shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Presumptuous sin, willful sin, when you know what it says and you do contrary to it anyway, that's very dangerous. That meets with fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you're willing to choose something that's going to put you out of the church and you choose that thing and stay out of the church, and that's the context of what I'm saying here. I'm not taking it out of context. The previous verse said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some. You're willing to choose that thing over your place in the house of God. There is nothing but fearful judgment and fiery indignation waiting for you. Temporally speaking, I'm not talking about being thrown into hell. You may feel like you're in hell. That's why it's called being delivered unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. But anyway, back to the verse that I was going to, Matthew 23 and verse 23. I'm just really trying to get you to anticipate the heaven series. It's just getting so bad, you're just going to be begging for it. You just can't wait to hear something happy and positive. Somebody actually thought that I've been putting this off for so long, I've been stalling so long. They're like, I don't think you actually have that outline done. I think you just keep putting this off because you're like, you're just trying to buy time. Well, that would be a, you know, a reasonable thing to think, given the amount of time that I have been hyping this thing up. But I assure you, I am ready for it. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, Jesus said, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. So they were doing all these little things that men could see and making themselves look good. And they're paying their tithes and they're bringing the anise and the cumin and all this stuff. They're doing these things, these little outward things. That's good. You're supposed to do that. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Jesus says, yeah, you ought to do the weightier matters, judgment, mercy, and faith, and don't leave the others undone either. Tithe the mint and the anise and cumin, but do the weightier matters. So if you leave something undone, that's also a sin. Because if Jesus says you ought to do something, well, if you don't do it, that's a sin, isn't it? If bodybuilding takes up so much of one's time and energy that it causes him to not meet his family commitments or other duties, it has become a sin. That goes with anything. If whatever your idol in the heart is, your lust is, if it takes you away from things that you're supposed to do, that God's commanded you to do, you're leaving off those things, and that's sin. It must take a back seat to things which God has commanded us to do. You always got to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. You got to do the things that God said first, and then if you have time after that to do the things that you desire and want to do, that's fine. But you do what God said first. Don't leave it undone. The seventh way that bodybuilding can become a sin is if it causes a man, or a woman for that matter, to appear in public dressed immodestly, and I've already covered that many times, so I'm not going to say anything else about that. And number eight, the final way that bodybuilding can become a sin is if it becomes abusive to the body. See, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, in this case, the body that he's speaking of here is your physical body, because in context, he's talking about fornication in verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And then he says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Obviously, this is speaking of the temple of the human body. Okay. Now, sometimes people get mixed up. That's why I took a minute before I read this verse. I was just looking back to check and make sure I knew where it was. In chapter 3, the church is also called the temple. In verses 16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. He's talking about the local church in this case. The local church is the temple, ye, in the plural. So anyway, you don't want to get these two verses mixed up, because people do that. And they say, oh, your body is the temple, and then they go to this verse. Well, that's not really what this verse is teaching. But in chapter 6, it is teaching that our bodies, our physical bodies, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we should not willfully do things that harm our bodies. And if bodybuilding does this, then it becomes sin. Now, of course, there's gray area here, right? I mean, technically, anytime you eat a Big Mac, you're doing something that's harming your body. Is one Big Mac going to do any real harm to your body, any lasting damage? No, probably not. So obviously, there is some leeway here, clearly. But when you're doing something that's obviously, that is just killing you, and you just keep doing it, and it is killing you, it is killing your body, then you're harming the temple that God has given you, and that's a problem. All right, now let's get to the second part. What things should a Christian consider before getting involved in bodybuilding or continuing in it? And once again, these things apply to anything a Christian is considering doing. This time I only have 7 things. First question to ask yourself. These are all questions that a person should ask himself. First question, can I do this to the glory of God? Can I get involved in bodybuilding and can I do it to the glory of God? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Like I said, these are just principles, and you can apply them to everything in your life, and you should. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do. So this, anything is covered in this verse. Do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do. So if you're asking yourself, should I do this thing? Can I do this thing? Is it okay to do this thing? Ask yourself first and foremost, can I do it to the glory of God? Maybe you want to go out and celebrate and have a Big Mac. Can I eat this Big Mac to the glory of God? Yeah, you could do that. Right? It says that nothing, that every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. It's food. I mean, it's mainly food anyway. It's somewhat food. It's called food. And I mean, it does have some food particles in it, I think. So, yeah, you could do it to the glory of God. Now, can you eat a Big Mac for every meal for 60 days in a row to the glory of God? That's called suicide. And no, you can't do that to the glory of God, right? But could you eat one? Yeah, sure. Could you eat one once in a while? Absolutely. I've been out with a brother before long, many, many years ago, and we were eating at Skyline, which is a Cincinnati thing. It's like, a week's worth of calories in a meal, the pasta with the chili and the mound of, 4 pounds of shredded cheese on top of it and all that. And my brother was praying for the food, and he prayed that the Lord would bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, if that's possible, he said. And so, of course, with God, all things are possible. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. See, for a Christian, anything that is not condemned in the Bible and that's permissible, you can do all kinds of things to the glory of God. You don't just have to come to church and sing praises to be doing it to the glory of God. Can you go on a nature walk to the glory of God? Absolutely. You go out there, you can worship God on a nature walk and admire the beauty of His creation. You can do anything that is lawful under the law of God. You can do it to God's glory, and you should. Colossians 3 and verse 17. For whatsoever ye do in word or deed, whatsoever, so anything you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Some people might think drinking fine coffee is just foolish. I personally do it to the glory of God. I thank God for that cup of coffee every time I have it. I can drink coffee to the glory of God, absolutely. I hope to be able to do it for all eternity. I'm going to be talking about that in the Heaven series. There might be something better than coffee up there, and that'd be even better yet. Now, if you can engage in bodybuilding and sincerely in your heart do it to the glory of God, then it's fine to participate in it if it doesn't violate any of the other things in this outline. Okay, so now some people can deceive themselves and think, well, I can sleep with my girlfriend to the glory of God. No, you can't, because the Bible says that's sin, right? So you can be deceived and think you're doing it to the glory of God. You have to see if it lines up with the scripture. So if you can do bodybuilding to the glory of God and meet all the rest of these criteria, these scriptural criteria, then go ahead. Go ahead. Question number two, why do I want to do this? And this question should be asked by every one of us about everything that we do. Why do I want to do this? Why am I doing this? And I just think, just from my experience, just knowing human nature, knowing people, being one myself, I don't think that very many people ever ask themselves the question of why. Why am I doing this? Whatever the thing is. Most people just do things. The reason they're doing it is because it feels good, they want to do it, whatever. But nobody ever, or I shouldn't say nobody, but I think, just based on my experience, I could be wrong, I don't think very many people actually step back and analyze their life and say, why am I doing this certain thing? Why am I living like this? Why? For one thing, people just don't have enough time to ever spend any time contemplating and thinking. The TV's blaring, they're, you know, working constantly, the kids are screaming, whatever. I mean, people's lives are so chaotic these days that there's, you know, they don't have any time to contemplate and think about their own lives and decisions. But I encourage you to make a diligent search of your own heart and ask yourself to honestly answer the question of why you want to participate in bodybuilding or anything, whatever your thing is. Look at Psalm 77 and verse 6. Psalm 77 and verse 6. This is a psalm of Asaph. So Asaph says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, in my spirit made diligent search. That's the thing. We are not just flesh. We have spirits and souls, and our spirit and soul can do a search of itself. We can do self-reflection. That's what it is to be human. And we should do that. We should ask ourselves why. And then search our hearts. And then when you ask yourself why, here's what you do. Why am I doing this? And chances are you're going to tell yourself some BS reason why you're doing it, which is not really why you're doing it. And then take and cross-examine yourself. Right? So you got the defense attorney and the prosecuting attorney. Get your prosecuting attorney hat on. And when you just gave your defense and you said some BS reason of why I'm doing this, then get your prosecuting hat on and say, okay, yeah, right. Why are you really doing this? Quit lying to yourself. Why are you really doing this? Search your own hearts. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Because one thing I have found out is that men, and I mean people in general, are masters at deceiving themselves. I have witnessed this plenty of times. Proverbs 20 and verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. This is a really interesting verse because it's the candle of the Lord. The Lord is searching the inward parts of the belly, but how's he doing it? It doesn't say the spirit of God. It says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. The Lord uses our own spirits to search our own selves, right? To commune with our own hearts in our bed. Like it says with the Gentiles in Romans chapter 2, they're a law unto themselves, their conscience the meanwhile either accusing or excusing one another. A man's own conscience can do that. And the Lord uses that as his candle to expose our sin. He uses ourselves, our own spirits, to expose our own sin to ourselves, if we'll be honest with ourselves. Now, if in your heart you find the reason you want to do bodybuilding or anything else is pride, self-promotion, vanity, recognition, status, praise of men, any of those kind of things, then you shouldn't do it. You got to be honest with yourself, though. I'm telling you, people are they are masters at lying to themselves. You got to be honest. How many people, though, are going to reflect on something, say, why am I doing this? And thinking, you know what, it's actually because of pride. It makes me feel good about myself. It's because of self-promotion. I love to, you know, put myself out there so people can see me. It's because of vanity. It's because of recognition. I want other people to recognize my accomplishments, right? You know, why am I going for this high degree? You know, how many people say, well, it's because I want recognition of men. No. Nobody's going to admit that, right? You got to be honest with yourself, though. Don't deceive yourself concerning your true motives, as men so often do. Third question you want to ask yourself if you want to start into or continue in bodybuilding or anything else for that matter is, am I doing this for vainglory? Because we are not to do anything for vainglory. I will define that in just a second, but let me give you the verse. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You can kind of get an idea of what vainglory means right there from the context. The definition is glory that is vain, empty, or worthless, inordinate or unwarranted pride in one's accomplishments or qualities, disposition or tendency to exalt oneself unduly, idle boasting or vaunting. That's vainglory. There's a lot of that happens in bodybuilding. A lot of that happens in sports. You know, all the talking trash and the celebrations when you make the touchdown or you hit the home run or whatever. Right? There's a lot of that in that arena. A lot of that in the arena of education as well. So if you are bodybuilding to vaunt yourself or puff yourself up, you are not doing it with charity, and therefore you shouldn't be doing it. For 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Because remember what is said of charity, that charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So if you are bodybuilding or doing anything else to puff yourself up, to make yourself look good in your own eyes and in the eyes of others, to get the recognition and the praise of men, you shouldn't do it, because that is not an act of charity. I mean, hey, it could be preaching sermons, right? Do you preach sermons so that you can get the praise of men? Do you preach sermons so that you can get people to ooh and ah about what a wonderful orator you are? Right? I mean, a preacher could fall into the same thing. Like I said, it could be anything. Number four, which is similar to number three. Am I doing this to be seen and admired of men? Because we should not do things to be seen of men. Matthew 23 and verse 5. This is a hard one for human nature. And I know. I mean, I'm a man like the rest of you. I know how this is. You do something, and then you want to tell somebody about it so that they can admire your accomplishments. You want to tell somebody, oh, I did this, or I did that. Oh, did you see this thing I did, or whatever. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips, says in Proverbs. And then Charles Spurgeon added, and be very glad when the other has sense enough to hold his tongue. Matthew 23 and verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. That was the Pharisees. You know how you can tell that somebody is humble and not full of himself or herself? It's when you have known them for quite a long time. Maybe you meet somebody, you've known them for months, and you've gotten to know them pretty well, and all of a sudden you find out some major thing about them that you never even knew. Like they were some really accomplished this or that thing. They have some really amazing, neat hobby, and you never even knew about it because they're not puffing themselves up. They're not talking about it. And all of a sudden you're like, I've known you for a year and I didn't know that this or that. That's when you found a humble person that's not full of himself, not always talking about himself and his attainments and accomplishments. I always think that's neat when you meet people like that. Occasionally you do. You find somebody that Like, wow, this guy, I had no idea that you were into this, that, or the other thing, or that you had done this or that. And you didn't find out about it because he said something. You found out about it because somebody else said something. And if you really want the praise of men, which you shouldn't, but if you do, to what Proverbs says, let another man praise thee, because then you'll really get praise. When you've known somebody a year and they didn't even find out about this amazing accomplishment, this thing that you've done in your past, and then they find out about it, they're really going to be impressed that, wow, you didn't even say anything about that. Somebody else told me. Then you'll really get the praise of men. So that's kind of like 4D chess, I guess. If you really want to get praise of men, keep your mouth shut, and then you'll get even more praise. Right? But of course, that shouldn't be your motive. Jesus said that that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Luke 16 and verse 15. Luke 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And it's pretty well right. You just look around and you find the things that men just love and that men think so highly of, and chances are you've probably found something that's an abomination to God. If you are bodybuilding or doing anything else to impress men and be admired by them, you should not do it. If that's your motivation for anything, to impress men and be admired, don't do it. You may get the praise of men, you're not going to get the praise of God. God is not impressed one whit with something like that. It's an abomination in his sight, as a matter of fact. Fifth question you should ask yourself is spending time with other bodybuilders or anybody else in any other activity or hobby that you might get involved in, is spending time with other bodybuilders going to be a good influence on me? And there are going to be some hobbies that you do where you're going to get around people that are going to be a lot worse influence on you than other hobbies. You know, chances are if you joined a chess club, you might be around a bit better of a class of people than if you joined a fraternity when you're in college. Okay? You know, just for an example, a pretty obvious example. Chances are the nerds in the chess club are not going to lead you down the path of sin and end up getting you destroyed, where the clowns in the fraternity most certainly will. We all know what it says, or we should. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Another one of my favorites, Proverbs 13:20. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So what kind of people do you find are into extreme bodybuilding? That would be a good question to ask. I'm not talking about what kind of people go to the gym. Lots of people, you know, anybody that gets to middle age and starts getting fat goes to the gym, you know, at least for a week or two. I'm not talking about people that go to the gym. I'm talking about people that are involved in extreme bodybuilding. Okay? What kind of people are them? Are they? I don't really know. I don't know very many extreme bodybuilders, but you know, it'd be a good question to ask. Are they godly people? If not, do you want to spend a lot of time socializing with them? You know, if whatever hobby you're thinking of getting into, and you realize, you know what, I have found that it's pretty much, you know, unsavory folks, lewd men of the baser sort, that get involved in this type of hobby or habit, yeah, you might want to consider doing something else. Like I said, when I went to that libertarian group in Minneapolis, and they were a bunch of them were atheists or agnostics and God haters, and it didn't take me long to figure that out. And you know what? I was out of there. I'm not hanging out with these people. I don't care if I do agree with them on political things. That doesn't matter to me. I don't want to hang out with a bunch of scumbags like that. I want to blaspheme God. And they literally did. Sixth question you want to ask yourself, is bodybuilding or anything else going to take too much of my time away from my devotion to God, His church, His word, and His people. And you could also say from your family, especially if you're married and have children, you know, your bodybuilding or any other hobby, is it going to take time away from my family? Because God, His word, His church, and His people should be of utmost importance to a Christian. Let me just give you the verses which show this to you. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good." You see, that's what God requires of us. That's the most important thing, to love God, to fear him, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. That's paramount, primary duty that we have. If bodybuilding is going to take too much time away from doing that, well, then you need to scale it back. His word, likewise, is of extreme importance to God, and it should be to us too. In Psalm 119 and verse 72, it says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way? Do you feel that the Bible is more valuable and more important to you than thousands of gold and silver? You know, an ounce of gold is, well, it's kind of cheap now, $1,600 and some dollars. Thousands of those. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. Okay? Thousands of gold today would be millions of dollars. Is millions of dollars more enticing and appealing and interesting to you than the Scripture? If somebody said, "Hey, I've got millions of dollars to give you, but the thing is, you're just not going to have time to read that Bible anymore." Yeah, you might hear it in church, but you're not going to have time to read that Bible anymore. Boy, would you take it? Would you say, "Well, you know, I guess I can hear it in church"? Or would you say, "You know what? Keep your millions. Thy money perish with thee"? That's only a question that you can answer. And then you know what happens? Some people will deceive themselves. "Oh, millions of dollars. I could help out the poor. I could give to the church. I could do all these wonderful things with it. I could be a philanthropist. I could help out other people that are in need. I mean, reading my Bible, I mean, you know, come on, I could. It's not that big of a deal, right?" That's self-deception right there working. Chances are you're never going to have that dilemma, but you should think about that dilemma anyway. It's probably never going to happen. But if it did, what would you do? That's a question. God's church is another thing that's of paramount importance. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Have you ever gone, maybe for some reason, a few days without reading the Bible? Now, I know there are probably plenty of Christians, probably Christians in true churches, and I don't know. I'm just guessing because I know people. If I would say, "Have you ever gone a few days without reading your Bible?" Like, every week. Yeah, of course. But have you ever gone a few days without reading your Bible? And for whatever, you were just super busy or something. You know, some crisis was happening and the basement's flooding and whatever. I don't know what, you know. And you just were literally, you just had no time. And then you finally get a chance to read your Bible after a few days of not being able to read it. And it just feels so good. It feels like you just got a big glass of cold water when you were super thirsty and hot. I've been there before, long time ago. I don't remember why, but I was so swamped with work or something. I was working like crazy. This is back in Cincinnati. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I went, after things finally slowed down, and that weekend I went to stay with some friends of mine for a night in the church. And we were reading the Bible. They were reading the Bible to the kids. And it was just like a cold glass of water to a thirsty soul. That's what it should feel like. Now, I don't recommend you even do that experiment. I don't recommend you say, "I'm going to not read the Bible for a week and see what it feels like." I wouldn't do that. But if that you ever get in that situation, when you get to read that Bible again, that's what it should feel like. And if it doesn't, then check your heart and ask God to reform your ways. Why don't I feel that way? Why don't I love to read this book? Matthew 6 and verse 33. I'll tell you why I say that. I just remembered. There could be an explanation for this. But one time, somebody came to church in a different car than they usually came to church in, and they didn't have their Bible with them. They're like, well, yeah, we brought a different car and the Bibles were in the car. And I'm like, do you realize how dumb that just made you sound? That means that the Bibles stay in the car all week. Every week you didn't read the Bible. Now maybe they were reading it on their phone. I don't know what. But I just thought, man, you just really admitted something horrible and you didn't even realize it. I didn't say anything, but I was embarrassed for them. Maybe they just had car Bibles. I don't know. It's possible. Just leave a Bible in the car. Have your Bible at home, your Bible in the car. I've got a car Bible that I leave in there all the time. That way when I go somewhere, I can just pick it up, take it to the waiting room or whatever. But so it could have been that. But I don't know. I was kind of taken aback by that. Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. See, God's church should come first in our priorities. And his people, Psalm 119 and verse 63. To be honest with you, this sermon really has little to do with bodybuilding. I know I've mentioned bodybuilding 50 times already, but the real heart and soul of this sermon really doesn't have anything to do with bodybuilding. This is about your priorities with your hobbies and habits and activities. This is what's important to you, and this should just apply to life in general. Psalm 119 and verse 63. It says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. See, God's people that fear God and keep his word, those should be the people that we want to be spending time with. They should be extremely important to us. And if bodybuilding takes precedence over any of these things, over God, his word, his church, or his people, then it should be scaled back. And then lastly, the last question you should ask yourself, if you want to get into bodybuilding or anything else, is bodybuilding my way of compensating for my own perceived inadequacies? Is building up an impressive looking body your way of proving to yourself or others that you are worthy of their approval? And don't fool yourself. That's what a lot of this comes down to. It comes down to wanting to prove yourself to others. I can do something. I am worthy. I am capable of doing something great. To get that attention that you didn't get. Maybe your father or your mother didn't give it to you. That's what a lot of this comes down to, is I didn't get the attention that I wanted. I didn't get the recognition that I wanted. I didn't get the respect that I wanted. And I'm going to get it. If it means doing this and building up this huge physique, people are going to know that I'm strong, I'm principled, I'm diligent, I can work hard at something, I can do something. You got to ask yourself that question. And this, like I said, it could be about anything. But bodybuilding probably particularly applies to this one more than some other things. Do you feel inadequate or inferior to others in status, stature, or station in life, and are therefore trying to compensate for it by impressing others with your muscles? That's a question to ask. Now, like I said, this applies to other things. Maybe you're not into bodybuilding, but do you feel inferior to others in status or station in life, and you're trying to impress them with your house? People do that, you know. Gotta have a big house, gotta have an expensive, fancy-looking house to look impressive in the eyes of other people. Or how about your car? Lots of people do this. They get looks because of the car that they drive. Have you ever seen people, and this was ubiquitous in the slums in the black communities, they couldn't afford a nice house to live in, so they would drive the Cadillac and or the big Suburban or whatever, and the big Escalade, and they would look like they're wealthy, right? They're driving this $80,000 car or whatever, and yet they're living in the slums. And that happened, especially, I think, more in the past. I know it still happens, but a friend of mine in Minneapolis told me, who was older, he said that that was classic back in the day, because back in the day, black people a lot of times couldn't even get into good neighborhoods. Even if they did have money, they couldn't get into good neighborhoods. So what they would do as a status symbol was to buy the big expensive car. Big truck, right? How many guys do you see driving big jacked up trucks? And the only reason for it, I know you're smiling, I know you're not doing it for that reason, but the only reason these guys do it, you know full well, is because they're, well, I was going to say they're compensating for something, that's mean, but they are trying to look impressive in other people's eyes. Driving the big truck, right? There's nothing wrong with having a nice house. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. If you can afford it, if you can actually pay for it, you're not financing it, having a nice truck, whatever. Nothing wrong with any of that, but if you're doing it to be seen of men and to get recognition of men, you got character problems going on. How about the clothes you wear? How many people wear fancy clothes and they carry around the Gucci bags or whatever and wear the brand name clothing so everybody can see what nice clothes they have? Now, if you ever see me wearing brand name clothing, I'll tell you why that is. Because I got it at Meet the Need. I don't honestly remember. It's been many, many years since I bought a new piece of clothing. Now, whereas some people love to buy the big flashy clothing so that they can impress others, I love to go to a thrift store and pay $2 or $3 for a really nice pair of pants or shirt and then go around and brag about it and say, guess what? You know what? I paid $2 for these pants. You say, well, that's just vanity. Well, maybe it is, but I still like doing it. It's just kind of fun. There's nothing like going to church and saying, you know, my whole wardrobe cost me $5. Just love doing that. You save a lot of money going to thrift stores. I can't imagine paying full price for any clothing these days. It's insanely expensive. Jewelry. How many people wear jewelry? You say, look at you, Pastor, you're doing the same thing. In case you didn't know, my grandmother gave me this ring that was my grandfather's, and it was his favorite ring, and she wanted me to have it. And I like it. I mean, you know. I'm not apologizing for it. I like it. I wear it. I realize it probably makes me look like I'm wealthy or something. Or some people might think that, or they might think that you're like way out of your class wearing a ring like that. But I don't really care because I like the ring. And if you think it looks tacky or whatever, then well, you can deal with that. I don't really care what you think. I wear it because it was given to me, and I like it. And honestly, I mean, you know, you take it apart, it's probably 10 karat gold, and these rings that have been made in the last 20 or 30 years, they're all hollowed out anyway. And I mean, if you had probably a few $100, you could, or maybe, I don't know, probably more than that, but you could probably go to a pawn shop if you had a few $100 and you could get one too. So it's not like you're a high roller if you're wearing a ring or something. But people do that, you know, they wear jewelry to show off. Or your hairstyle, maybe you get some really flamboyant, catchy-looking hairstyle to get attention. You ever see these kids running around today, or adults for that matter, and they've got the colored hair, and I don't mean like, you know, blonde streaks, I mean like pink and blue and green or whatever. They got the insane, crazy hair, you know, the mohawks or whatever. Why are they doing that? Recognition, right? They want attention. That's why they're doing it. Or it could be your job. Social clubs that you're involved in? Do you have that job? Are you a member of that club so that it will make you look high in the eyes of other men? It's not just bodybuilding. We must not compare ourselves with others. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You never want to get into that game of keeping up with the Joneses, comparing yourselves. I just smiled because of our former members. It would be kind of funny if they were here and say keeping up with, you know, everybody knows that saying though, but anyway. But you don't want to get into that trap of so-called keeping up with the Joneses, comparing yourselves with other people. You don't worry about that stuff. We must not commend ourselves, but rather seek God's commendation. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 18, down there at the bottom of the chapter, says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." You know, whether men commend you doesn't really matter. Because men will commend all kinds of people. I mean, men are impressed with a lot of things that God's not impressed with. You know, God's not impressed with a lot of things that I've talked about in this sermon today. The things that men are impressed with, God's not impressed with that stuff. So if you're bodybuilding to compensate for your own perceived inadequacies, you should stop. You need to find fulfillment in Christ, not in bodybuilding. And this goes with any other thing you might be doing to try to get over your own inadequacy in your own eyes. Colossians 2 and verse 10. It says, "And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power." You're complete in Christ. You find your completion, you find your fulfillment in Christ. If you're going to something else to try to make yourself complete, to make yourself fulfilled, you're looking in the wrong place. So your honest answers to these questions will determine if you should get into or continue in bodybuilding or any other hobby. If your desire to participate in bodybuilding or anything else made it through these scriptural standards, then go for it and do it to the glory of God. But if it violates one or more of these guidelines, then you must refrain from it until it can be done without violating God's rules. And like I said, the same questions should be asked about any hobby or any activity that Christians are considering participating in. It always comes back to the question that Paul asked, "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture?" Guide your life and your affairs by the Scripture. And if what you want to do, when you filter it through the guidelines of Scripture, if it comes out on the other side unscathed, then go ahead. But if you have to break God's commandments to do whatever your desire is, that desire has got to go on the back burner. Fearing God and keeping God's commandments has to come first. So thank you for your kind and patient attention.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.